Amen. Well, praise the Lord for that special tonight. And of course, as Christians, we are called to live by faith and not by sight. And I imagine most of us probably feel like we're living by faith right now. And as we've gone through this year, and so appreciate so much the words of that song this evening. And it's good to see people in the auditorium. The last couple of times that I preached, it was an empty auditorium. It was just me and Brother Jagger in here. And so it surely is a blessing to have people in here tonight. And Jagger was not heckling me. He stayed in the back and, you know, moved the camera around and all that kind of stuff. And so I appreciate that. And praise the Lord for the ability to gather in God's house. And I trust that throughout the day today that the Lord has used the messages and the music in your hearts and your lives. I invite you to turn to Hebrews in chapter 13 this evening. Hebrews chapter 13. And I appreciate Pastor allowing us as staff to preach, and of course right now without Sunday school classes and those kind of things to prepare for, it's good to stay in that habit. So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. I don't know if you've watched any baseball the last couple of days, but some of those guys are rusty because they just have been out of the habit of playing baseball. And it's good to stay in the habit of just doing the craft, the thing that you do, and appreciate so much the opportunity to preach tonight. If you found your place, and if you're able to, I invite you to stand this evening in Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 8 down through verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 8 down through verse 10. The Bible says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. I want to stop and just say what a powerful truth that is. What a great help that is. And certainly there could be a whole message on just that verse alone. But we'll keep moving through this passage here. The Bible says in verse 9, because of verse 8, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And then verse 10 is our text. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And as I began to pray about this week, where the Lord would have us, the Lord directed me to this verse, particularly those first four words in verse 10. I want to preach a message this evening entitled, We Have an Altar. We have an altar. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, we do come before you tonight, and we're thankful for who you are. Thankful for the opportunity to gather here as a group of believers, Lord, this local assembly. And Lord, the idea behind the church is that the church is to assemble, and we're so thankful we're able to get back to that. And Lord, yet we understand that there are some tonight that are watching on live stream, and we understand, and Lord, we feel like they're assembled with us there in live stream. And so for those that are there and those that are in this auditorium tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd unite our hearts. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through the preaching of the Word of God tonight, and that you'd use me tonight to preach this message that you laid on my heart. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. We have an altar. The idea behind that word altar, that phrase there, is that we as Christians have a place with God. We have a standing with God. We can go to Him anytime, day or night. And yet as I think about the spiritual disciplines that you and I do as we go through life, and when I say the word spiritual disciplines, I talk about things like church attendance. Things like tithing and witnessing and those kind of things. And certainly a devotional life would fall under that idea of a spiritual discipline. When I think about those, I think for many Christians, the idea of just having a daily walk with God is somewhat of a struggle for us as we go through this life. Because, listen, a lot of the spiritual disciplines are those that can be seen from the outside. I mean, think about it. If you never came to church, people would check up on you and wonder where you had been. And yet the devotional life, that daily walk with God, is something that sometimes we can get by with without people really noticing that it's not there. And I think back to my life and growing up in church. And of course, I'm 39 years old, and I was born into a pastor's home. My dad was an assistant pastor at the time. I've been in church every Sunday of my life throughout my childhood, into my teenage years, into my adult life. And so I was, as just a kid, impressed upon the fact that you need to have a devotional life. And yet I thought about my teenage years, specifically the idea of discerning God's will for my life. And again, I went to a Christian school, and through chapels and through a youth group and all those things, those thoughts were impressed upon my mind. Have a devotional life. Have a walk with God so that God can speak to your heart and God can direct you. And yet I think about that time because, yes, as a teenager, there were times in which I would do my devotions. But certainly as a regular occurrence, I struggled in just that daily walk with God. And then I remember going off to Bible college, and if you'll allow me to, I just want to be transparent with you tonight. I want to be real with you tonight. That was something that even in Bible college, as I was training for the ministry, there were times when I was just struggling to have the daily walk with God that I should have. And listen, I was convicted about that often. And I was trying to work a job, and I was trying to be a student full-time. And listen, none of those things were excuses because I had time to get other things done. And yet that was a struggle for me. And then I went into the ministry. I became an assistant pastor at Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And I remember almost as a Bible college student getting ready to take that next step, somewhat being relieved because at that point, I'm going to be in the ministry. I have to have a daily walk with God. It's necessary for my job. And can I tell you, even in the first couple of years, I feel ashamed to tell you, but I want to be transparent with you tonight. That was something that was somewhat of a struggle for me. And I was convicted by it. In conversations, I was scared to death that someone was going to ask me, how's your devotional life right now? Listen, I'm teaching and preaching the Word of God, and yet I'm struggling to be in it on a daily basis. And I remember when God gave me the victory in that situation. We had a couple of kids, and we were just a couple of years in the ministry, and we had at least two of our kids at the time. And I don't know about your kids, but my kids didn't sleep in when they were young, you know? We tried everything. Tried to put them to bed late. They just got up earlier. And I don't know what was wrong with them. And sometimes I try to figure out what's still wrong with them. Just kidding, not really. They're good kids. But I remember thinking, you know, and I'd get up some mornings planning to have my devotions. And of course, one of the babies is crying, and I'm trying to be the good dad. And so I get up, and I'm trying to read my Bible and feed the baby at the same time and all this. And that just didn't work. And I remember it was such a novel thought, but the Lord just impressed it in my heart. Listen, if you're going to have a walk with me, you're going to have to get up a little bit earlier. You have to get up before your kids get up. And so I began to adjust my schedule and go to sleep a little bit earlier and get up a little earlier in the morning so that I could have that time with God. And I want to tell you, in the ministry and in just my own private life, I'm telling you, there was such growth that began to happen when the Lord just enabled me. And really, when it just had the discipline just to spend time in His Word and in prayer on a daily basis. And yet I think about that thought tonight. Because here I was in ministry struggling with that. And so I know all too well the struggle that it can be just to have a daily walk with God. And so I understand that possibly one of the greatest battles that Christians face is just simply to walk with God on a daily basis. And yet we come to this book of Hebrews. And of course there's so much in this book, but specifically chapter 13, verse 10, where the writer of Hebrews makes this statement, we have an altar. We have a place with God, a standing with God, and we can go to God any time of our lives. We ought to have that daily walk with Him. And it reminds us tonight that we have an altar. And of course, as you study the book of Hebrews, there's a lot of comparison between the Old Testament way of doing things and the New Testament way of doing things. We understand that in the Old Testament, of course, there was a tabernacle and there was the altar. And, of course, there was a specific altar there at the tabernacle that people would take their sacrifices to. And they would offer them to the high priest who would take that to the altar. And so that was the Old Testament way of doing things. However, in the New Testament, all that changed. Because there was a new tabernacle. A tabernacle not made with hands, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and offered Himself upon that altar as the final sacrifice for our sins. In fact, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, just a few pages over, and the Bible says in verse 9, then said He, Jesus, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. What was the first? That was the Old Testament way of doing things. The Old Testament altar, the Old Testament sacrifice, the Old Testament law, that He might fulfill those things and become that sacrifice. He established the second there. by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Again, if you go back and study the Old Testament, it was a yearly thing of bringing the sacrifices. And it wasn't just on the Day of Atonement. There were other sacrifices and other offerings that they would have to offer on a yearly basis. And yet he says there in verse 10, Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all. A complete sacrifice. He says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because the work was completed. Those priests, the Bible says they stood daily. Why? Because there was more work to be done. And yet when Jesus Christ came and he offered himself upon that altar as that sacrifice for our sins, then when that work was completed, he went and sat down beside the Father. Amen. Thus, opening up a relationship with you and I to go to God's throne on his behalf. That God stands, or that Jesus stands between us and God, and thus paving the way to the altar of the throne of God, so much so that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, and again, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I want to remind you tonight of this simple truth, and yet it's a biblical truth tonight. We have an altar. We have a standing with God. We have a place in which we can meet with God and we can spend time with Him. I love what J. Vernon McGee said about this passage here in Hebrews chapter 13. He says this. He says, we don't have a material altar with a local address, but we have an altar which is in heaven. It's the throne of grace up yonder. In the Old Testament, listen, they had a material altar, a place where they would go to. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you can talk to God no matter where you're at? Amen. You can go to God anytime. How many of you have struggled as you've gone through this life and you get hit with bad news? Isn't it a wonderful thing that no matter what, if I'm driving, if I'm laying in my bed in the middle of the night awake because I'm thinking about what I'm dealing with, isn't it a wonderful thing that we can go to God anytime? And that's the altar that we have tonight. And I'm greatly encouraged by this text, because I realize where we're at in life. Now stop me if you've heard this before. 2020 has been an unprecedented year. Anybody heard that? Has anybody said that phrase? I think we all have. You know, we're wondering, anybody really think that at the end of July we would still be dealing with the coronavirus? I mean, it's been quite a year. And so we understand, listen, as we come upon this, it's been a difficult year, and there's been a lot of things outside of even just the coronavirus that we've dealt with. But I think you realize this. And I love this passage because I want you to understand tonight, Jesus is unaffected by the coronavirus. Amen. Think about that. Because the Bible says he's the same yesterday and today and forever. I think about my own life. How many times do our moods change based upon information that we hear? How many times do you get mad at the television when you watch a reporter talk about craziness or show something on the TV? Because all around us, listen, our emotions run on information. And so all around us, when we hear bad information, our moods change. Listen, when we go through valleys, it has a way of affecting us. But I want to remind you tonight that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so today it might be the coronavirus, but yesterday it may have been something else, and tomorrow it may be something completely different. Guess who is the same yesterday and today and forever? And guess who says, listen, you can come to me anytime and I will help you through no matter what you go through in your life. And so what an incredible thought. And he doesn't change based upon current events. His help is available to us, and certainly it's available to us through many different avenues. And I'm so thankful for the preached word of God. I'm thankful that as a church family, we're able to come and we're able to hear the Word of God preached in this place. But I'm also thankful that we have a Word of God that we can take out anytime and we can study. And we can read and we can hear of the mind of God. And so it's important, as we understand that we have an altar, it's important that we learn to regularly meet with Him at this altar. And there's a couple thoughts that I want to pull out of this passage, and I don't intend to be very long tonight, but a couple things I see about this altar and what makes it so important. And the first thought is this: this altar is a place of sacrifice. He says, we have an altar. I want you to understand the very meaning behind that word altar as it's translated from the Greek. The very meaning is this: a place of sacrifice. In fact, when we think of the word altar, it's synonymous with sacrifice. We go back to the Old Testament. I think, of course, of first of all, Abraham and his son Isaac. What did God ask Abraham to do? He asked him to take his son to an altar there on that mount and offer his son for a sacrifice. Now, I think all of us as parents can relate with what a sacrifice God was asking of Abraham. And yet he willingly did it, and he took him there. And of course, we understand and we know the rest of the story. God provided a ram, and what a powerful symbol or an illustration of salvation. That replacement of that ram for Isaac, and it was a picture there very early in Genesis of salvation. But it was a sacrifice nonetheless. And then we, of course, think of the Old Testament altar and the idea of the sacrifices as they went to the tabernacle and they took a lamb or an offering of some sort and offered it there upon that lamb or upon that altar. And yet the Bible says in chapter 10, and I'll refer you back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And so in the Old Testament tabernacle, there was an altar there. And it was synonymous with sacrifice. And then we come to the New Testament. And again, we already mentioned this, but Jesus offered himself upon that altar as the final sacrifice for our sins. And we see that again there in verse 12 of chapter 10. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And so when we come to this verse in chapter 13, where it says, we have an altar. And every time we see the word altar throughout the scriptures, it's always synonymous with sacrifice. When we come to this place in Hebrews chapter 13, and the writer of Hebrews under the Holy Spirit inspiration says, you have an altar. Can I tell you, it stands to reason that there's a sacrifice that needs to take place at this altar. And so the question is then, what is that sacrifice that's to take place? And I would simply say this, listen, as we go into our daily walk with God, and as we open up the Word of God and allow Him to speak to us and us to speak to Him, the sacrifice that needs to take place is this: the replacement of my thinking with Christ's thinking. The replacement of my will with Christ's will. And we find that here in this passage. Of course, we find verse 8, Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But verse 9, He says this: be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. You know what diverse and strange doctrines are? That's the thinking of mankind. It's the thought process of mankind. How many of you have been blown away recently when you've heard what someone thinks out there? Or maybe you read a report about this church and how they're doing some things over there, and you're wondering, how do we start at Christ and get to that? What has happened is they've never replaced their thinking with the Word of God. Can I tell you one of the reasons why we may sometimes be resistant to get into the Word of God? It's because we like the way we think. So sometimes I don't necessarily want to replace my thinking with Christ's thinking. And yet he says, listen, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. middle of that verse, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. How do we establish our heart with grace? Listen, it's got to be established on a, if we're going to be established on anything, it's got to be on a foundation. And the only foundation that we can establish our heart on, which will carry us through this life, is the foundation of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians, no other foundation hath man laid than the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so we understand that as we come to this altar, there's a sacrifice that needs to take place. It's the exchange of my thinking for Christ's thinking. The exchange of my will for Christ's will. It's where I lay my life down on a daily basis. It's where I give the Holy Spirit complete control of my life and allow Him to have His way in me. Why? Because it's a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. Of course, in the New Testament, we're told to develop the mind of Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, how do we develop the mind of Christ? Well, the only source of the mind of Christ is His Word. This book has been given to us. It's the mind of Christ. And the only way we develop the mind of Christ is to get into the Word of God and to walk through it on a daily basis and to hear biblical preaching, which helps us to understand the mind of Christ. Listen, the Word of God reveals to us the person of Christ. It reveals to us His thought process. It reveals to us how He desires that we would live our lives. And then it enables us to see Him for who He is. Not the world's version of who Christ is. Because the world has some crazy thinkings in and of itself about who Christ is. And listen, I want you to understand, because I've heard a lot, even recently, a lot said about who the world thinks Christ is. Some reporter says that Christ was an admittedly a fallible man as He walked here on this earth. That's what they're reporting. And so listen, the source of the Word of God is who Christ is, not the world's version. I want to tell you this. Listen, one of these days there's going to be a lot of surprised people when they stand before God and realize who He is. And it shouldn't be a surprise. Because God said, listen, I gave to you in my Word exactly who I was. And you had that, and so you're accountable for that. But the Word of God reveals to us the person of Christ. By the way, the Word of God helps us to view our world biblically. As Christians that are daily in the Word of God, are we really surprised at what we're seeing going on in our world today? I mean, as we look across our nation today, by the way, the Word of God reminds me that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm telling you, when you get in the Word of God, you understand all that God has for us. It's an incredible thought, because this world is not our home. And by the way, those that have a daily altar with God, they don't get bent out of shape when things start to go into turmoil all around them. When they view the world and all the problems, they don't get bent out of shape when they view the problems of this old sin-cursed world and this old sin-cursed earth, because God has already revealed to us how this whole thing ends. And there may be some tonight that say, I just don't know what's going on. I don't really feel comfortable in this world anymore. And the thought there is, good. Because as Christians, do you realize we were never meant to live comfortably in this world? And by the way, I think that as Christians, we've had it far too easy for some time. And I know, out of personal testimony, at times in my life, just kind of settled into this world. Because it's been easy. And yet now we're feeling some discomfort, and now we're understanding, listen, maybe some of the things that we're seeing in the Scriptures. And so I want to encourage you, if you're struggling with doubt, if you're struggling with worry or fear or anxiety, get in the Word of God. Find yourself at the altar of God and stay there until He gives victory. As I was thinking about this, I remember as a Bible college student, and again, I talked a little bit about my journey through Bible college, and that's one of the things that I wish now After spending several years in ministry, I wish I could go back and relearn some of the things that I missed in Bible college. But I remember a time in particular in which I was just certainly unsettled there in the place that I was at. And I remember, and of course later on I figured out that I had simply just been backslidden. But I remember, as a Bible college student, you try to fake it sometimes. And listen, that I say that again to my shame. But I remember when I was unsettled and there was no joy and there was no peace in my Christian life. And I remember when it really got me upset was when other people started noticing it. And some of the guys in the dorm would say something to me like, "What's going on with you?" And that began to bother me because I realized, listen, what was going on internally was beginning to spill out. Other people were beginning to notice what was going on. And again, it was one of those situations where I already knew what I needed to do, but it was almost like the Holy Spirit pricked my heart. He said, "You need to get back into the Word of God." And I had a job in which I worked at a hotel, and so I had I worked full-time there in the afternoon and the evening, so I had a lot of time to do my homework and other things. And I remember when I would get my homework finished, I would get out my Bible and get out a pen and a highlighter and just go passage by passage. And allowed God to speak to my heart. I got back into the Word of God, and I want to tell you, it wasn't very long after that I began to have the joy of the Lord back in my life. I began to have that peace back in my life. Why? Because I was unsettled. I was backslidden. But when I got back into the Word of God, when I came back to that altar, there was a sacrifice that took place. It was my thinking, and I sacrificed that for Christ's thinking, and He brought the joy back into my Christian life. And I'll never forget that time. And I want you to understand tonight, listen, as we come to this altar that we've been given by God, we find here, first of all, that it's a place of sacrifice. And then secondly, and very quickly, and we'll be finished here in just a few moments, not only is this altar a place of sacrifice, but this altar is a place of fellowship, a place of communion, if you will, a place of communication. Of course, when we go back in the Old Testament and we look at that altar, that's where God met with His people. That's where He would come down to them. And of course, the high priest would be the go-between between man and God. And yet, that was the place of fellowship. And yet, in the New Testament, we find that at this altar, we have a standing with God. And so the Bible says there in verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which served the tabernacle. That word right, the idea behind that word, it simply means privilege. And so in the Old Testament, listen, the altar that we have, they didn't have. They didn't have the privilege to go directly to the throne of God like we have. And so even those Old Testament priests who were called by God to serve in the tabernacle, even they didn't get to experience what you and I are able to experience. It's direct communication from God to us. And the ability to go to God at any time. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. Because again, I grew up in church. I've been in church all my life. I've heard messages. I can't even begin to imagine the amount of preaching messages that I've heard. How many lessons, Sunday school or whatever that I've heard. And I want to tell you, to be completely honest, there are times when we go through a passage, and because of familiarity, we can kind of miss what's there. But I want you to stop and think about this thought tonight, that the God who created everything that we see, the God who spoke it all into existence in 6 days, and who, by the way, didn't need 6 days, but was simply setting a pattern of the work week and how we go through life and establishing time for mankind, the God who spoke all that into existence, desires to communicate with you, desires to have a relationship with you where He speaks directly to you and you speak to Him. That's an incredible thought tonight. And when we come to this altar, we find that it's a place of fellowship. It's a place of communion. And He invites us and He encourages us to come to that altar. And again, as I go through my life, I'm so thankful that there have been times in which I've been weary. There have been times I've been going through something. And I'm so thankful for this altar that He gives to us. He says, not only is it a place of sacrifice, but it's a place of fellowship. A place where I can walk with God and He can lead me as I go through this life? And here's the question I want to ask you tonight. This is a question we all need to ask ourselves. We have an altar, but are we using it? That's the thought tonight. Or maybe we could ask the question this way. How's your walk with God? Is there a daily walk with God? Can I tell you right now, possibly more than ever, and as we continue to move forward into the future, I think if Christians are going to survive the attacks of the devil here in this earth and in this world, we're going to have that place of fellowship with God on a daily basis, where we know we can get a hold of the throne of God, where we can fall down before that place and know that we have the ear of God to help us as we go through the trials that we endure in this life. And so maybe tonight, maybe you and I need to recommit to this altar. Maybe there's some that were like me, that it's been a struggle. Just developing that daily walk with God. And maybe it's tonight just a commitment to, Lord, I'm going to take advantage of this altar that you've given to me, this daily walk. And maybe there's someone in here tonight that is simply going through something right now and you say, I need to meet with God at that altar. I've got to have His help as I go through the thing that I'm going through. Because whatever you find yourself in, and again, today it may be COVID. And tomorrow it may be another trial. And then next year it may be another trial. But I want you to understand, no matter what you and I go through, there is help at this altar. And we must simply take advantage of it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. The simple truth of God's word is this thought, that we have an altar. And I don't know where you're at in your Christian life tonight. I do want you to understand, first and foremost, that this altar has been extended to everybody. But to be able to meet with God at this altar, you first of all must be a Christian. You must be His child. You must have that personal relationship with Him. And then after that, listen, He opens up the door of communication for you to come to Him no matter what you go through. Maybe there are some tonight that just need to come to this physical altar. And maybe recommit to just having this daily walk with God. Maybe it's been a struggle. Or maybe you're in the midst of something right now and you just simply need His help. Or maybe there's some teenagers that may need to come to this altar and just say, Lord, help me to develop that daily walk with You. Lord, as we come before You tonight, we're so thankful for the truths that are found in Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight as Christians, Lord, to find ourselves on a daily basis at this altar that we've been given. Lord, I pray that we'd be faithful there, that we'd have that daily walk with You. And Lord, if there's those that need to recommit to that or those that need to start a devotional life, Lord, I pray that tonight that they would make that decision. We love You and we thank You for these things. In Your name I pray, amen.